Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for May the 5th, Monday, May the 5th, 2025. We're in the Hebraic calendar, a new calendar this week. It's Iyar 5785. And so welcome to the calendar of Issachar. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace in our lives, that through all the highs and the lows, through the challenges and the shaking and the upheaval that is going on, you have an order, you have a purpose, you have a plan that is rolling out in and through your sons and daughters. I invite our hearts to align to yours, that we recognize that in the battle does belong to you, and the warring that we face, we pray discernment, that as we face challenges and opposition and differences of opinions, that we take the time to take a deep breath, to count to 10, and to seek your response in our interactions. First and foremost, to set aside our pride and our sense of knowing what we know in our mind, to trust that you know in our spirit that which is more powerful, more potent, and more sure than that which we can gather together in our mind, which is tied to our feelings and can lead us into all sorts of challenges. So we give you this call, Lord. We thank you. I ask blessings upon each and everyone who is hearing this call now and those who will listen to the recording. I just pray your blessing, Lord, your healing, your comfort, your wisdom, your insight, your transformation in our lives, that we seek you fully each day, each moment, as we move forward, that we check in with you, that we seek your counsel, even in the simple things and the small things in life. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, first and foremost, for those of you who were on the call last week, I want to thank Mark Tomaszewski and Bruce for carrying the ball. I thought I would have a cell phone. I was at a lake, and it said there was cell phone coverage, but you had to lift your right arm, stick out your left leg, and if your tongue wasn't just at the right angle, it didn't let the call go through. So I apologize. I was unable to attend. And the mosquitoes, oh, my God, they were crazy.
You must have an iPhone.
No, I have a Samsung. That's funny. All right. You know, I have been pondering what God's putting on my heart. And although we're moving into a new month, and it's a month of a lot of change, a lot of shaking, a lot of upheaval, I want us to focus on the power of our words and the power of our tongue. And I pulled up a, a gathering of a number of scriptures reflecting the use of the tongue. And I'm going to just go through some of those. I want you to be reflecting on those. God tells us in his word that the tongue has incredible power. We can use our tongue to bring blessing and life or curses and death. The saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is simply not true. Our tongues can be the most difficult thing to control and leave us with great regret if we use our words to hurt. There is hope. The Bible tells us there is help. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can have power and control over our tongue. So there's a number of verses here I want to just read to you to encourage you to start speaking words of life and healing. If you want to follow along with me, 1 Peter 3:10. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. For the tongue would love life and see good days, For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. You go over to Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Ephesians 4:29 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And over in Proverbs, the memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. You know, I'm inviting you all to reflect on that. Reflect in, you know, when we're on our good days and when we got our best behavior on and when we've had enough sleep and enough food and enough exercise, you know, we can guard ourselves pretty well. But what happens when we get tired or stressed or in a situation where we're under fire or attack or strong opinions in a lot of directions, we tend to let slip. It's easy to let slip from the tongue. And the tongue should be a soothing tongue, is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Have you ever thought about, oh yeah, you know, if I could take those words back, I would so love to do that. Proverbs 15:28, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. You know, each one of us can be a bearer of righteousness or a bearer of evil. We really have to be the sentinel, the guard on our own mouth. Proverbs 17:9 says, a merry heart does good like medicine. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. So be careful what you spread, what you speak about others. That is it elevating? Is it uplifting? Is it beneficial? Is it going to help that other person? I don't know about you, but I am not a perfect human being. I'm perfected in Christ, but I am not a perfect human being. So if you hold me to a standard of perfection and I don't meet up to it, the question becomes, are we blessing one another, giving grace, covering the offense for those who aren't perfect, and that's all of us, or are we digging in the boots and amplifying something that I might be working with? I might have something going on in my world, and I might be needing you to show me grace rather than needing you to amplify what I already know, which is my imperfection. Matthew 15:11 says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Proverbs 21:23, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. You know, scripture, and Bruce is going to talk about it here later in the call, that we are in a time of shaking. We're a time of great shaking and a time of upheaval. And you have to ask yourself, are you contributing to the shaking? I mean, God's doing his shaking. He's doing shaking the heavens and he's shaking the earth. But oftentimes, people and cultures cause devastation and calamity upon themselves by the tone of their words. And this guarding of our mouth and the guarding of our tongue keeps us from calamity. Once we say things, sometimes they're out of our mouth and you go, oh, God, I wish I never said that. But calamity is something we have to watch for. We're in times of calamity. And are you going to add to the solution or add to the problem at a time of great shaking? The great shaking that's going on is a work of God. And sometimes we think in our mind and our righteousness that we know, you know, that we're the judge and the jury. And that can be a dangerous place to be in. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Are you adding wood to a fire, or are you able to not enter into gossip, not fan flames of something that you may not be certain of? You know, there's a lot of hearsay out there in a lot of ways in life. It's important that you don't fan the fire of hearsay and allow grace to abound and to verify your facts before inserting, what is it, open mouth, insert foot. Just a few more here. Proverbs 31:26. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And Psalm 34:13 says, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And just before I go on, I want to make a distinction. There is a distinction between not saying anything and then turning it internally. Sometimes we feel, we don't process our emotions and don't process what's going on, and we internalize it. We internalize that in a habitual way. We can also cause physical harm in our body, cause disease in our organs. So it's important to have a process of not allowing unexpressed emotions and thoughts that you may not say, but you're still thinking them and you're still feeling them. It's important that we take the time to process that. And, I find different ways of doing that myself. Some of those ways are praise and worship. Get into a time of praise and worship and literally do as God says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Another way is taking time to tongues. Take time to journal and express to the Lord what's going on, that you know you're challenged about something, you're really struggling with it, but you, once again, you cast your cares and you can do it. I'd find myself doing it when I journal, because that way I'll process through my thoughts as I write, and I get to a point in the journal and I recognize I can let it go now. And the final way you can do that is to find a trusted brother or sister in the Lord that doesn't pamper gossip with you, doesn't pamper your flesh, doesn't pamper you indulging all of your emotional tirades, but lovingly holds you accountable, that knows it, that you know is a safe harbor to be able to share something, and together pray about it and cast it to the Lord, cast your cares to the Lord. But as you select, you know, a confidant, a brother, a sister, you need to be really mindful that that doesn't become a way of you spreading that further. You know, there's two things that I've found in life is protecting or your guarding your honor and guarding your reputation. You are the custodian of guarding your honor. What comes out of your mouth, what you say, what you do, those things you have a say about. You cannot guard your reputation from those who would try to slander you, accuse you, badmouth you, find some fault with you. That you have to let the Lord vindicate you on. But you can do everything in your own power to be a man or a woman of your word, to let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And when you say you're going to do something, do it. And if you can't do it, make every ability to bring resolution to whatever it is you promised, and maybe you overpromised and you have to back up on. So those are my opening thoughts. Those are on my heart. I realize that I have seen great division occur within the Republic in the last 6 months. And it saddens me. It really deeply saddens me. It's unnecessary. It has, to me, the tone of a lack of compassion, of understanding, of discourse, of dialogue, of humility, of recognizing that we all have a different point of view. Thank God we do, and thank God that we all are facets of a diamond, and God is shaping the body of Christ. God is using each one of us. You know, they talk about a bunch of coal in a box, and you shake them around or tumble them, and it starts to smooth off the rough edges. And so each of us has something to offer. No two of us are the same on anything. And having the respect for one another to recognize that somebody may have a thought that you haven't thought about. Somebody may have a solution you haven't thought about. And if we are too fixed on our own point of view, on our own perspective, and we're not willing to be flexible and humble and recognizing this is the body of Christ. God is the one who is able to put together. He puts some of us are eyes, some of us are ears, some of us are noses, some mouths, some feet, some have creativity in their writing, some have the ability to speak well. Each of us has something different. Some of us are great servants behind the scenes, some of us are forefront, but it takes a team of us, it takes a team of people to fulfill what God's calling the body of Christ to. So with that, as we step into the new calendar of Ayyar, 585, I think I want to just do a little preamble, Bruce, before I go into your thing here. How many of you on a call, and you can go ahead and unmute, how many of you on a call look forward to this calendar that comes out each month and know where to find it on the website? We don't have one of those text things, so go ahead and unmute yourself and let me know.
This is Mark Binder. I do look forward to the calendar coming out all the time. I like the pictures, if nothing else. And it's a good thing to have.
And Mark, can you tell people where they find it in case they are unaware of where it is?
Sure. Well, you can go to republicforuniteststatesofamerica.org, and you can click at the top on the Divine Providence tab, and it'll pull down, and then you'll be able to find the calendar, and you'll be able to find the archived prayer calls there as well.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Anybody else? How many of you have never downloaded a calendar or looked at it? And it's okay. There's not a test. I'm just wanting to have some feedback.
I have not yet, but I've been wanting to do it, but the website's had problems, so I haven't been able to really get in there and understand it yet, but I definitely want to be celebrating the three feasts we should be celebrating and understanding the calendar better.
Well, Brian, there's two websites. One of them is not functioning right, but the other one does function just fine. And Mark,
okay.
you want to say what that is?
Yep, I'd be happy to. So if you look up republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org, you'll get to the main page on that calendar.
Okay.
So you'll get to the main page on that website. Then you have to tab across, don't you, over to the
Mark? The Divine Providence tab. If you click on that, then there'll be the archive prayer calls, and the calendar should be there as well. And I think when the newsletter comes out with the calls, it'll probably be on that as well.
Great. All right. I'll do that as soon as we're done here.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? I'd like to have feedback if anyone has followed the calendar and received any benefit from it, or if it's you haven't. I just like some feedback to know whether we're approaching this in the best way we can, because there's great study in there.
Hi, this is Kirk Wheeler, Indiana Governor. I have not looked at it, but I will. Is it in a PDF form that can be printed?
Yes, sometimes it comes out in a Word doc, but I think actually on the website, when it's posted on the website, it does. It is in PDF, so yes. And,
okay, fantastic.
Yeah, in fact, this month, it looks like we have 130 pages. So if you double-side them, then you'll get them printed in, 65 pages.
Okay.
And Bruce Dietler is faithful each month to help Wade edit it. And so all the typos and the links that don't work, you can blame Bruce.
He gives credit.
Give him credit. That's a better way of saying it, yeah.
There you go.
But I don't find very many, to be quite honest. And if Bruce is a retired principal. So he's very diligent about finding stuff like that. In fact, I think he's pulled the calendar once or twice from Wade to say, no, you're missing something here. Is that true, Bruce?
Roger that.
All right. Anyone else want to comment on the calendar? Benefit, curiosity, study?
I'll throw some comments out there, Robert. This is Mark Tomaszewski. I don't get on it every day, but whenever I'm just seeking some new teaching or new perspective on something, I get on the monthly calendar and I just scroll through two or three of them or four of them. And it seems like 100% of the time I find what I'm looking for, something that's just got a little punch to it. And I'm very thankful for the diversity of the styles of teaching.
Well, yes, there's something else. And now I'm glad you brought that up, Mark. There's something else that I'm finding with the calendar, and that is God has seasons and cycles of time. They're biblical. We follow the Gregorian calendar or the Julian calendar, and the time of the Lord has been twisted. They make every effort to keep us out of sync with God's seasons. And what I find benefit in the calendar is it's aligning me to God's seasons, to God's timing, to God's flow. And I have to confess, I still haven't adjusted my day of rest to be Saturday, to be the Sabbath instead of Sunday. Well, Sunday, if you research it, was part of this manipulating of the calendar of celebration of God's timing by the Catholic Church. And, I mean, I've been sucked into it. I've been all my life. That's how I have celebrated the day of rest, you know. But actually, it's Saturday. And I just don't know yet. I haven't got into the rhythm of seeing how to let my life flow that way. Every so often I will. But I'm excited to see my own inner clock starting to align to God's clock. So thank you, Mark. Anyone else? All right, seeing none, hearing none, I want to turn the call over to Bruce Dietler. He did the very first calendar contribution this month. So, Brother Bruce, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Brother Robert. I am looking for something here. Just a moment here. Well, there it is. Okay. Back on September 11th of 2023, which is 22 months ago, I wrote an article for the calendar entitled The Great Shaking. And in recent weeks, the Lord has had me revisit. I haven't reread that particular paper, but the Lord has had that topic come back and been ruminating around in my spirit on the great shaking. And the paper that I submitted last month, actually middle of April, deals with that again. It entitled An Everlasting Unshakable Kingdom. And it's interesting to me. I don't consider myself necessarily prophetic. I'm a teacher, educator. But it's interesting to me in the fact that, now I submitted this back on April 18th. Since that time, in just the few websites that I look over every day, I have 7 different prophetic words dealing with the same subject. And that is encouraging to me that, hey, even I, a non-profit, non-this, that, or the other, any common person can do the same thing. Listen, listen, listen. And the Lord is going to drop something in your spirit and then give confirmation to that, possibly multiple times over. Now, this morning, and I'm going to preface my particular presentation or the paper that I submitted, I'm going to preface that with a couple of prophetic words. And then at the end, I'm going to give several more before I get into a declaration, which is possibly something good for everybody to use. Now, Robert, let me suggest something here, too. This is off topic a little bit, but regarding the prayer calendar, that is a hugely, hugely valuable asset. And in the past, it was, and I don't want to put you in a box on this, Robert, but in the past, it was such that someone who wanted it emailed to them to be able to have it on their computer and just pull it up every day rather than having to print out 130 pages could request to get on a mailing list and have the new calendar automatically emailed to them. So if that would be something that would be possible, I just toss that out as something that could be very beneficial for folks who don't want to take the time or get confused in trying to get techie, and I'm not techie. So anyway, moving along.
Well, just one, if I can interject into that.
Yeah.
You don't you can simply right-click on the PDF and download it to either your computer or your phone or whatever. You don't have to print it out. I mean, there's different modalities for that. The challenge that I have with that email list is that's Wade's email list, and he sends it out to, I think he told me, like 1,000 people. So, and I, you know, I don't feel called to cross over his, you know, where he's at there. And he hasn't given me the okay to share his email with folks either, because as you know, he's so busy.
Right.
So, unless that's something you would like to do for this call, if, you know, that's a possibility too.
Yeah, if they can right click and download it to the computer, that would be good. Just leave it at that.
Okay, very good.
All right. This morning, one of the websites I watch is usawatchdog.com, and they had a speaker on there the other day. Actually, this was recorded, or this was on their website this morning from something that was done Saturday. But it was done by a fellow by the name of Martin Armstrong. And Martin Armstrong said, there is an avalanche of problems coming to the world starting in 2025. Depressions, defaults, debt crises, and wars are going to sweep the globe. Armstrong and his, quote, Socrates predictive computer program. Armstrong has called every big economic term in the past three decades. He predicted Trump would win the 2024 election in a landslide many months ahead of November. He called the huge stock crash of 1987 to the day. He predicted the dot-com boom and bust in 2000. He was spot on calling for the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, and now we are headed for more big turns. Armstrong says, quote, from here we are turning down into a global recession, which won't bottom until about 2028. Central banks started, it's going to be more of a depression in Europe, a very sharp recession in China. It won't be as bad in the United States. When you create a debt crisis, that's what causes a depression. The stock market going down is the least damage to an economy. So a lot of encouraging words to from Martin Armstrong. Excuse me. A more encouraging word from Veronica West out of Ireland, and this was posted on her prayer calendar, actually on the prayer calendar, IR3, which is from this past week. She said, this specific 50-day window of time, which is from Passover to Pentecost, and we're in the middle of that right now, is critical, as it will lead us beyond and into the next 5 years, which will be marked by a series of profound and intense challenges, including new wars, the rise of greater famines, the rise of new and ancient pestilences, and even plagues, far greater and stronger earthquakes that will bring devastation and destruction, and sudden volcanic eruptions that will literally shift, rearrange, and change the boundaries, lines of nations. So with those encouraging words, let me submit to you. My thought was, and I'll give you some all sorts of interesting things you can drop in conversation with people here, about these dramatic shifts and shakings and so on that are being prophesied is the word I'm trying to think of. They're being prophesied. People are speaking of things that are coming. You pull up MSN and you see all different things about earthquakes and volcanoes and this, that, and everything else going on right now. Recent massive earthquake in Myanmar, which is Burma, killed over 3,000 people, and now others are occurring along major fault lines in California, Texas, and elsewhere. Now, here's the statistics for you. Of the world's 1,300 active volcanoes, 45 are continually erupting right now. The U.S. and its territories together have 170 active volcanoes, and Alaska is presently being threatened with a major eruption not far from Anchorage, which could blanket that city with a plume of toxic gas and volcanic ash. Scientists are also concerned about that supervolcano sitting underneath Yellowstone Park. The eruption of that would devastate half of the North American continent. Now, you couple all that with the recent extreme weather events going on all over the country, along with the impending monetary collapse, instability in government, potential wars on the horizon, and other forces seemingly beyond man's control, and many people are justifiably concerned, to put it mildly. So, when we get in a situation of concern to us, we start seeking for stability, security, something, somewhere, anywhere, wherever that may be found. And I suggest that though we will not experience an everlasting, unshakable kingdom in this life unless the powers of darkness are totally defeated and the kingdom of God comes in full manifestation, nevertheless, there is something, this is something, we can look forward to with great hope and glorious expectation. The Word of God provides us with this encouragement in a passage of Scripture, Hebrews 12, verses 25 to 29. The Lord brought me to that, and the writer of Hebrews says, and I quote here, and then I'm going to go through and touch on some of these scriptures. It begins with, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Now, taking those scriptures apart, first thing that came to me in discussing this is that God is speaking. He's always speaking to those who have ears to hear. Our hearts need to be still and attuned to his voice to inquire of him, "Lord, what are you saying to me in all of this, your servant? What am I supposed to do about this? How am I supposed to apply what you are speaking to me?" Now, others in the past have ignored or rejected the words of the Lord while he was on earth. Let us not ignore him now, who is continuing to speak from heaven. Second point, not all shaking in life comes from the forces of nature or from man's making or from Satan. Some shaking comes directly from God for his purposes in the lives of his saints. Well, that may not be comfortable, but it is true. We must walk in godly discernment to understand the source of that shaking and how to respond, and regardless of the source, whether it's man, nature, God, the devil, or whoever, we must not blame God for all shakings. Third point, God has promised to shake things yet again to remove that which is of man's design, that is, man's idols, whether they are literal, emotional, or mental, such that only that which is of God may remain. When we reach that point where we allow all that is not of God to be shaken from our lives, where only that which is of God remains central to our lives, then we will have entered a place of rest, a, quote, kingdom which cannot be shaken. And regardless of ongoing shakings in the world, in our lives, all around us, whoever, whatever, we will be able to live in a state of reverence and godly reverential fear, regardless of the shaking. God is a consuming fire. He desires that all that which defiles us would be consumed by his fire, that he may have preeminence in our lives. Now, I suggest some might say, well, yeah, that's easier said than done. You don't know what I've been through. Well, no, I don't. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what Brother Wade has been through. He's got a book coming out shortly that I've already had the pleasure of reading, and I cried through his testimony. So, no, I don't know what you've been through, but you don't know what others have been through either. But at any rate, Hebrews 4:11 tells us, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We're desiring to get into the rest of God, to seek a place of security in him. Now, life might seem rough at the moment. It may appear to be getting only more so by the day, but others have had similar life experiences, or worse, and have made it through. Many on this call probably have had devastating things happen in their lives, which have really, really shaken them to their foundations. This is indeed labor, to enter into the rest of the Lord. So please forgive me in advance. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony here, not to do anything other than to make my point. You don't know what others have been through. And with the Lord's help, we will survive regardless. I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma at the age of 16. The doctor said I would likely be dead before the age of 21. I am happy to say I am well beyond that age now. However, following surgery and cobalt radiation therapy, many years later, I am obviously still very much alive, and the doctor is probably dead. Following that ordeal, 2 years later, my mother died when I was 16, a household accident during the night. And I was sleeping about 25 feet away from this, never heard a thing, never heard the ambulance. She was taken away and died. Years later, before coming to trust Yeshua as my personal Savior, my wife and I lost two little girls to death in a span of 2 weeks, one at birth and the other following open-heart surgery 2 days before her second birthday. As I said, I was not a Christian at that point, and that did devastate my life and totally broke me, but through Linda's prayers and the working of the Lord in my life, I came to trust in Yeshua, Jesus. I now have, as a result of those things, a steadfast peace and assurance in my heart and soul. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can never take it away. At a later point in life, I had bought myself and my family massively into debt. I bought an expensive house with a 15% mortgage rate, I might add, as well as a new car on the very same day. After all, being a king's kid, I deserve this, and the used car dealer literally said so.
But the Lord had told you to get out of debt.
Yeah, well, he told us to sell our house, to move east side of town, and get out of debt. Well, we sold the house, moved to the east side of town, and tripled our debt in one day. And I said, hey, 2 out of 3 is not bad, right? Anyway, so we had the down payment for the house. We had enough money to qualify for the loan. I had no job, no income, no way to pay the mortgage or anything else. I couldn't even buy food for the family. And I did this to myself. But God used it for his honor and glory. And I was forced to my knees in prayer and anguish and intercession for 3 long years until every bit of striving was pulled out of my heart. When we were finally delivered after these 3 very long years, the Lord brought me out completely stripped of any striving. for what I deserve, quote unquote. I don't deserve anything. I have been through the fire. I have been consumed. My idols have been torn down. Jesus, Yeshua, now has preeminence in my life, and I have entered into his rest. Now, 2 Peter 1:11 says, we find further encouragement for maintaining stability. It says, Peter is describing the kingdom of God as an everlasting kingdom. It is a kingdom which cannot be shaken, to which we have been given access through the blood of Yeshua, and that blood never fails. Our election is sure as we hold on to God's precious promises to us. We may be shaken, but not shook. We may be knocked down, but not knocked out, and that shaking will redound to God's greater glory manifested in our lives as we draw near to him, to the promises in his word, and to the promises and prophecies he has spoken to us personally. In the book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. He said, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, so too must we war warfare with the prophecies that have been spoken over our lives. I suggest revisit those words frequently. Put God in remembrance of what he's spoken to you. Agree with them. Speak them out loud. Decree and declare them. His word will never fail, and he exalts his word even above his name. I said this present age is an intensified time of shaking, but amidst the shaking, God is at work and committed to bringing us up higher as we draw near to him and choose to cooperate with him. He is our loving Heavenly Father, and he is a good God. While the terrors and uncertainties of life surround us, whether coming from natural elements, man, God himself, the devil, the hidden things of our hearts are being exposed to God's light and to his consuming fire. As we fully submit our lives to him, he has promised to work everything together for our good, as you know. So my word today is be encouraged. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is no respecter of persons. What he has done for one, he will do for another. What he has done for others, he will do for you. He is the same God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. And he is faithful to deliver you as you fully trust in him for the victory. Now, let me share a couple other prophetic words on a positive note here. One from Lynn Packer from Australia, from the current calendar on the IR-17, which is May 15th coming up. She said, in part, we are in an intensified time of shaking that is causing exposures within individual hearts, churches, theologies, systems, and governments. Amid the shaking, God is at work, committed to our wholeness and righteousness, and he is exposing all that is working against that in our lives. Shaking and shifting in the Bible, she says, are usually associated with separating the goodness of the wheat from the chaff for the purpose of setting free and liberating the goodness of the weak. Lena Vosser from Australia also, on April 26, she says, in the days ahead, as shaking swiftly intensifies, as the plans of the enemy increase, I am increasing my people in divine insight and intercession. This is from the Lord through Lena Vosser. He said, you are not warring from a place of being underfoot. You are interceding from the place of victory, and I am bringing you deeper into the offensive style combat of intercession. Watch more and more in the days ahead, and the insight and intel I am releasing to not only shut down the plans of the evil one, but also to partner with my spirit in all that I am doing and will do amidst the gross darkness in the earth. Watch and see how my power will be demonstrated in greater ways as you pray. Another one from Lana Vosser just today on her website. She said in part, I say unto you, there is a shaking coming that will usher in a move of my spirit, bringing forth the fear of the Lord like you have not seen before. I say unto you that I am bringing forth an unveiling of my majesty in ways that have not been seen, and I am bringing forth a greater revelation of the cross and the price that I paid for you. My shed blood and the broken body was more than enough, and I am bringing you deeper into the awareness and revelation of all that I paid for you at Calvary. Steve Porter on Elijah List yesterday said in part, when everything else is stripped away by the force of the gale, when all our props and supports are blown aside, when we have nothing left to cling to but him, that's when we truly know him. Not just know about him, but know him intimately, personally, deeply. The last prophetic word is from Elaine Tavolacci from Staten Island, New York, April 27th, and she said in part, those with unshakable faith are not easily moved and swayed by tests, trials, or the world's system. They have a strong foundation, therefore they go the extra mile. Just as a tree must sway back and forth in high winds to avoid snapping, a skyscraper must do the same. They don't live according to the world system, but they live by a higher standard, just as the house on the rock was battered by storms but continued to stand. These with unshakable faith live with a high expectation and walk in a manner worthy of the calling that the Lord has placed on their lives. Those with the faith to shatter paradigms will be the world transformers. They are not moved by bad reports, but they know that Jesus will supply their every need. The Lord is raising up men and women who are resilient and will teach others to walk in the same unwavering faith. And I believe that is what the Lord is calling all of us as his children to do. Encourage others, show them the unshakable foundation, which is Yeshua, Jesus himself and his word. Now let me conclude with a declaration that is something that the Lord just put together for me. This is something that anyone could take or you could adapt this, but it's important that we speak the word. This is not my word, this is God's word over my life. My declaration, I am secure in the Lord and covered by the blood of Yeshua. I am seated with him in heavenly places far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. My feet are planted firmly on Yeshua, the solid rock, and I shall not fall when the rains come and the winds blow. I am in him, and he is in me. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of his wings. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. My God is greater than every tribulation, every shaking, every setback that may come my way. He will bring me through because in him I live and move and have my being. He is my rock, my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer. In him I am unshakable, unmovable, and always abound in the faith. I fully trust him, and my faith in God and in his plan for my life will carry me through anything and everything. I am focused on the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and am not moved by what I feel or see. Through Yeshua, I am more than a conqueror. I cannot be defeated, and I will never quit. I choose to draw near to God daily as an act of my will, and in Yeshua, I win. Glory to God. And I say, you win too in him. So glory be to God. Thank you, Robert. Back to you, brother.
Well, Brother Bruce, that was awesome. You know, the and finishing up with declarations there is just very, very powerful. I was struck by your personal testimony, and it ties in beautifully with what God put on my heart. I was at a church that I've not been to before this Sunday, and the pastor was preaching on Joseph and dreams, and the contrasting of outcomes. So God gives us dreams. God gave Joseph dreams. God gave each the butler and the baker dreams. And the butler's dream was a dream of a good outcome. The baker's dream was a dream of a bad outcome. And it really struck with me how we have to be vigilant what God's trying to share with us. And he went on to talk about something that I thought was so powerful. He said, every setback is a setup for God's blessing. So you could say Joseph had a setback when his brothers threw him in a well. Joseph had a setback when he got sold as a slave to Potiphar. And yet he turned it into an advantage. And then he had a setback when Potiphar's wife had eyes and designs on him. And he had a further setback when he was thrown into jail. But that positioned him for God to bless him and to bless all of Israel with an outcome. It didn't happen in his timing. And I think oftentimes we take setbacks and we feel like we need to vindicate ourselves. He went on this particular pastor went on to share, he says, I'm innocent. But we're not to defend ourselves. Just declare, like Bruce saying, declare what God's word says. Declare what our Savior, what our Lord Jesus and his blood has done for us. What our identity is. Our identity is no longer in what our setback is. Our identity is in Christ. And he's moving us forward into setting us up for blessing. So he went on to say, we're not called to vindicate ourselves. We should carefully and as much as possible not speak ill of those who are attacking us. We are to let our intent to prove ourselves innocent. How do you say this? I have to forgive my own writing. Let us be content to prove ourselves innocent and not to force an of upbraiding others with their guilt. So if we get attacked, it's like, yeah, you will get attacked. You will face adversity. People will speak ill of you because you have Jesus living inside you, and they certainly spoke ill of Jesus. So he went on to say, every setback is a setup for God's blessing. I want to read you something here that I think is very perfect in this regard. There's 9 divine signs that your setbacks are actually setups. This was an article written by Samuel Cho back in June of 2024. Life often throws us curveballs. We face setbacks, challenges, and difficulties that can make us feel stuck. But what if I told you these are not roadblocks, but rather stepping stones to something better? Sometimes the universe works in mysterious ways. Our toughest trials might be divine signs that our setbacks are actually setups for an amazing breakthrough. In this piece, he shares 9 divine signs that help you interpret your struggles as setups for success. And once you start seeing these signs, your perspective will shift and your resilience will skyrocket. So the first one, unexpected detours. Life's journeys rarely follows a straight line. We map out our plans, set out our goals, and then bam, an unexpected detour throws us off course. But here's the secret. These unexpected detours are often divine signs. They're not setups, but they're not setbacks, but setups for something bigger and better. So what are you holding your focus on? Do you believe in a positive future? Do you believe God's got you? Or do you believe in what you're seeing in terms of the setback and how it is changing your plans? Consider those times when you've been forced to take a different path, only to discover opportunities you wouldn't have otherwise encountered. These unexpected detours, these seeming obstacles, are actually the universe nudging you toward your true path. The next time you face a detour, don't despair. Instead, embrace the change and see where it leads. Remember, God often has bigger plans for us than we have for ourselves. The second setback, divine redirection. The second sign that your setback is a divine setup is when it leads to redirection in your path. It's easy to view a setback as a dead end or a failure. But have you ever considered it is a divine detour instead? Imagine driving toward a destination. Your GPS reroutes you, not because it wants to extend your travel time, but because there's an unexpected roadblock on your original path. Similarly, when we encounter setbacks, they may be God's way of rerouting us away from potential harm or towards a more fulfilling destination. The job you didn't get could open the door to an even better opportunity. Relationship that didn't work out may save you from future heartache. The project that failed might lead to an innovative idea that revolutionizes your field. These are not simply setbacks. They are divine redirections steering you towards God's plan for your life. The key is to trust in His guidance, even when the path seems uncertain. And that's a real big one. You know, we're so used to our routine, used to having things work the way we think they should work. I can't tell you how many people I know who are all excited about their world is going to change here any old day now with a revaluation of the dinar and the Vietnamese dong, with the change in the market of gold and silver, with the prospect of cryptocurrency, whether they've got Bitcoin, you know, passing over 100,000, going up higher and higher, or XRP and XLM and some of the cryptocurrencies as being the breakthrough that they've been waiting for. And it doesn't happen in our own time. We're always need to be mindful that God may have had us put the eggs in different baskets, but His timing is not ours. And so if we're not willing to allow Him to conform us, we're going to find ourselves in a stressed position of waiting expectantly for something and not enjoying the journey we have right now. Number 3, repeated failure. Ever tried something repeatedly and failed? I have. I remember a time when I was trying to grow my blog, and no matter what I did, the traffic just wouldn't increase. I was ready to throw in the towel. But then something clicked. It wasn't about the amount of traffic. It was about the quality of content I was producing and the value it added to my reader. My repeated failures were actually setups. They pushed me to reevaluate my approach and focus more on content quality over quality, content quality over quantity. The moment I shifted my perspective, things began to change. My readers started growing. More importantly, they were engaged in my content. Here's what I learned from it. When you encounter repeated failures, see them as divine signs directing you towards a better path. They're not setbacks, they're setups for learning and growth. Here's another one. Bruce talked about them. Sudden loss. Losing something or someone we value can be deeply painful. Whether it's a job, a relationship, or a cherished possession, the loss can feel like a major setback. However, history is filled with stories of people who turn their losses into gains. Take the case of Thomas Edison. After losing his laboratory to a fire, he famously said, "I'm not discouraged because every wrong attempt discarded is another step forward." Rather than seeing the fire as a setback, Edison saw it as an opportunity to start afresh, leading to some of his great inventions. So when you experience a sudden loss, consider the possibility that it could be a setup for a new beginning. After all, your setup could be a godly way of clearing the path for someone new, for something new and better to come into your life. Number 5 is broken relationships. Let's face it, the end of a relationship can leave us feeling heartbroken and defeated. We may feel like we've lost an essential part of our lives and that we're set back in a journey towards happiness. But there's other ways to view this. What if these broken relationships aren't setbacks, but divine setups? Every relationship teaches us something valuable about ourselves and others. They make us realize what we want and what we don't want. They show us our strengths and our weaknesses. A broken relationship can be a divine sign that you're being set up for a relationship that's healthier, more fulfilling, and more aligned to your true self. Just let your heart heal, learn from the past, and keep faith in the future. Remember, sometimes things fall apart so that better things can fall together. Number 6, unfulfilled dreams. I always dreamed of becoming a professional footballer, but despite my best efforts and countless hours of training, I never made it to the professional leagues. It felt like a crushing setback. But over time, I realized that unfulfilled dreams wasn't a setback, but a setup. It made me explore other interests and discover my passion for writing, which has brought me immense satisfaction and success. Unfulfilled dreams can feel like failures, but they might be the universe guiding you towards something you meant to do, something that fulfills you in a way that you never imagined. So, if you're holding on to unfulfilled dreams, consider this. Maybe it's a divine sign that there's another dream waiting for you to discover and embrace. 3 more, feeling stuck. Feeling stuck can be frustrating. We all have these moments when we feel like we're spinning our wheels and making no progress. It can feel like we're trapped in a setup and a setback with no way out, right? But what if feeling stuck isn't a setback at all, but a divine setup? Feeling stuck can be the universe's way of telling you to pause, reflect, and reassess. Perhaps the path you're on isn't the right one for you, and maybe it's time to try a different approach. That's why I believe we should all take it as a sign to stop and think. It could be the divine setting you up for a breakthrough that will propel you forward in unexpected ways. Number 8, persistent discomfort, feeling perpetually uncomfortable or dissatisfied with your current situation can seem like a nagging setback. It's like a thorn in your side, reminding you that something isn't quite right. What if this discomfort isn't a setback, but a setup? What if it's the universe's way of telling you it's time to move, change, and evolve? This persistent discomfort can act as a catalyst, pushing you out of complacency and into action. It can be a spark that ignites change, leading to growth and development. My advice, instead of dreading this discomfort, welcome it. Listen to what it's trying to tell you. It might just be a divine sign that you need to step up and make a move toward your true path. And finally, inner unrest. Inner unrest can be a powerful divine sign. It's that nagging feeling that something isn't right and you're not living your true purpose. It can feel like a constant setback, disrupting your peace and happiness. But what if this inner unrest isn't a setback, but a divine setup? This uneasiness could be a call from the universe urging you to seek your true purpose. It's a sign that you've meant for something more, something fulfilling, and in alignment with your soul's journey. Therefore, when you feel this inner unrest, don't ignore it. Listen to it. It can be God guiding you toward your true path and setting you up for a life of genuine fulfillment and purpose. He goes on further to say, in light of what we've talked about, it becomes clear that setbacks aren't merely stumbling blocks. They carry divine significance and serve as setups for spiritual growth, personal transformation, and a deeper understanding of our faith. In our walk with God, we will encounter trials and challenges. However, it's through these experiences that we learn to depend on God's guidance, grow in humility, and build resilience. Did you know that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:3-4, "We all glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character, hope." These words remind us to view setbacks not as obstacles, but as opportunities for growth. So let's learn to recognize the divine signs in our setbacks and see them as step-ups in leading us towards God's plan for our lives. You'll find this on BibleScripture.net. And I thought it was very appropriate after what Pastor talked about today or on Sunday at church, and the fact that I see setbacks. I would say, for example, for those of you who are paying attention in the Republic, there has been a division in the Republic. So it's clearly a setback seemingly at a time when we were at the doorway to having a necessary quorum of senators and House, having those in our interim leadership filled. But there's been a setback, and I would suggest that it's a set up by God for greater blessings. So those are my thoughts. I want to have Mark play a song now as we ponder these words.
Lifted high to the sky as the world.
Glory to God. You know, we got to keep our eyes focused on the goal and the prize. And that is Christ Jesus. We get to run our race. We don't get a say about all the pieces of how it works out, but we got to trust in our King. I want to express condolences to Robin, who lost her Vietnam vet, who she's been caring for. I got a text from her. Was it Sunday, Robin? The loss of your friend. Perhaps you can unmute and tell us, and we can lift him up in prayer, you up in prayer, his family, and anyone else in that situation.
Yes, thank you so much, Chaplain. Ricky was a Vietnam veteran. He had been exposed to Agent Orange. Of course, they denied that he had been affected by that for many years until only a year and a half ago. He had gone through a year and a half of chemo, which of course weakened his immune system. He sat outside on the carport in the back of his truck after having prostate surgery and other issues throughout the last few years. He had been in a coma. Well, he fell twice one evening, 3.5 months ago. He walked in the hospital, but they put him in a medical coma for all this time. After this group, our calls, our pastoral calls, he did begin a month ago to start opening his eyes and moving his arms and legs. However, the doctors wanted to have the family pull the plug, and we didn't, you know, and his family didn't want to do that. So he hung in there for a long, long time. They found lesions in his brain, so they had gone in and had to do surgery to try to find out if it was cancer or not.
Well, Robin, I would like you to share whether in your time with him you were able to speak to him about Jesus, and if he is a believer, and what you anticipate his forward journey is.
I can't answer all that. I did not. I took care of his wife. She had been my patient. I had never met him until after the first month he was in the hospital. So I said he was in a coma and never came out of it.
Was she a believer? Is she a believer?
She is, and I'm not sure about him. I'm just not sure.
Why don't you lift up a prayer for her and the rest of the family? And pray that this is a time where the family will draw closer to Jesus and come into a knowledge of him with the passing of their loved one.
Okay, Father, calling in all guardian angels to surround him in his journey. And we're all praying that he is with Jesus and our Lord right now. His family, you know, sometimes life doesn't make any sense. But even in these moments that we had, his family did come around him. Now, the son wouldn't stop by to see him without his mom there, you know, my client, Donna. And we do know and understand that some things remain true, that God does love us. He does love Ricky. He loves his entire family. It did bring his wife's sister and brother-in-law and other family members closer together. I mean, they did go visit every day that they could. And they spent as much time with them as they could. But it did, after 3.5 months, take a toll on my client, Donna, and her sister, who were there almost every day. And that we know God loves him, all of us, and that God has a perfect plan, and that he never leaves us alone. So I'm praying that they feel the comfort of all his promises. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Donna to you, Lord. We know that when the curtain call comes, it's a choice. Folks have to be clear in their relationship with you. And Lord, I pray for salvation in that family. I speak the power of the Lord Jesus Christ into the family. Lord, if there is equivocation in the minds of any in that family, whether it be the children, the wife, or others, I pray, Lord, that they hear your call, that they respond and recognize that this is not just some game of life that we are playing here, that this is for keeps, that you paid the price for us, and that the only thing we need to do is to say yes, and enter into a relationship with you to watch our lives totally change. So, Lord, I just speak into that family your peace, your comfort, and the fire of your Holy Spirit to bring about change in hearts, to recognize that the clock ticks for all of us, and to know you is to know life and to know eternal life. So we just give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. We do communion each evening. So I'm kind of inclined to see if I've got somebody on the call who is prompted to go, yeah, I really feel like led to lead communion tonight. So do I have any volunteers?
Well, this is Mark Binder. I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, thank you, Brother Mark. All right.
Absolutely. Shall we begin, or do you want to give them a chance to get their elements?
Yeah, let's let you get an opportunity to gather your elements. Get yourself a piece of bread or wafer or a cracker and some juice or some wine. And just ponder, you know, as Mark gets started here, just ponder where your heart is with Jesus, where your heart is in that communion time with him. Are you taking the time? Are you taking the time each day to step away from the social media, step away from the information feed, step away from the news, to just bask in his presence over a cup of coffee in your Bible? Or tea in the Bible, whatever your preferred drink is, and just allow God to work in your heart and speak to you away from the busyness. We've got so much busyness in our lives. So, Brother Mark, when you're ready and you've got your thoughts together on it, I give you the floor.
Yes, sir, I'm ready. All right, communion began on the annual celebration of Passover when Jesus told the disciples to remember him and his sacrifice as they ate the bread and drank the wine. Just as Israel celebrated the sacrifice of the Passover lamb when the angel of death passed over their homes, believers in Jesus celebrate and remember his sacrifice for our sins when he gave his life on the cross. Holy Communion uses bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus and wine as a symbol of his blood. Communion services as a solemn moment for believers to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and express gratitude for the profound redemption and forgiveness of sins achieved through his crucifixion and resurrection. And Father's grace as well. So 1 John 1-7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." And Matthew 26:29, this is Jesus speaking, says, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And then 1 John 1:3 says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And here's the body of communion here. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when He gave thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Please partake of the bread." Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said, "This is my body, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." So please partake of that. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. So go in peace and serve the Lord." Amen.
Amen. God. Thank you, brother. That was awesome. I had a request to give you the reference of where I brought the teaching from. 9 divine signs that your setbacks are actually setups. And you will find that at BibleScripture.net. And the author is Samuel Cho, June 20th of 2024. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this evening. I'm going to ask Mark to stop the recording.